All right, there we go.
But when I tell them this is a paid position, they're going to ask, who's paying? Where does that money come from? How much is it going to be?
Hey, Charles, Charles, this meeting is really not about that at this time, and I'm 20 minutes.
But we will cover that at another time. Matter of fact, maybe we'll cover that next Tuesday, okay?
Okay, don't let me get off track. I'm sorry about that. Let's go.
Not a problem.
This is a focused meeting. Gary's got, I guess, an agenda and a plan here, and, of course, the whole thing is really to start building up knowledge within our group and to really get people involved on a very deep end and hopefully strongly consider taking these administrative positions. But
yeah.
With that, I'm going to get off the mic, but we're going to have that meeting next Tuesday, which will be the orientation and preparation for a course, which people need to register by getting your name, giving a call to Greg, and Gary will give you that info, but I'm off.
Yeah, okay, so as
Hey,
John
Gary. Gary?
Yes?
Can I ask a question? This is Don Fries from Pennsylvania.
Actually, I need to get started.
All right, let's go into Q&A, and then at the end, you'll be able to answer people's questions and get into the queue.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Let's put us in Q&A there, Gary. You
all
know
right, I'll
bit,
do that.
Right?
I've never done that before, and I don't like doing it, but here we are.
Anybody that is in this room that's unmuted, mute yourself now so you don't get no background feed into this meeting, but I'm muting my mic now. You got it, Gary.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, and in fact, when I'm seeing noise, I'm muting you, so if some of you are hearing that I'm actually muting you, don't be offended, just, you know, if you need to speak, just hit star 6, but let's kind of hold off for just a little bit here. But John stole my thunder just a little bit, but he also opened a gap that I wanted to expound on, which is the explanation of why we're here and what we're trying to do. Like John just said, we in the NLA, we don't have enough members, let alone grand jury administrator candidates, to put one grand jury administrator in each county of each state. We don't have enough to do that. So what we need to do is try to expand our ranks as much as possible. Because here's what I foresee happening, and I could be wrong, and I'll just let me be wrong, John. Don't interrupt on this part here, but the chances are when things do start, at least I can see it in Michigan, we would probably seat one common law grand jury in a specific county. And everybody in the state would have access to that one until we could expand and grow. But let me tell you what's going to happen. If that happens in every state, every state has one county with one common law grand jury, you guys, it's going to be like a forest fire in the desert. I mean, it's going to burn fast because people are going to realize almost overnight. And there are going to be also people that have already been through the grand jury movements of the past, and they're going to see the success, and they're going to jump on board. You guys are going to have grand jury administrator candidates jumping ahead of you. And that's why we're trying to do what we're doing here right now. We're not only going to give you the training to be a grand jury administrator. We're not only going to give you the civics course. You guys are going to learn how to write writs of habeas corpus, to file papers to the grand juries. You guys are going to be the linchpins of this whole thing. But if we don't have the beating hearts, we're going to be a slow growth, but I think it's going to take off like wildfire. So all of you that have been investing your time and energies, don't let it go to waste. Get in, finish the job, get your civics course done, get your courtroom observation experience in, take the class from John, participate with the group that will be writing writs, because things are going to take off and they're going to leave you behind quick, fast, and in a hurry. Now, that being said, I'm going to go a little more rapidly than what I had in mind. The next thing that I would like to talk about is the one thing that I will tell you guys the NLA membership is the weakest in, and that's in people stepping up for leadership. the existing leaders that we have for the existing committees, the existing national coordinators, state coordinators, county organizers, they're already busy. We need new people. We actually need more national coordinators, but I'm not looking for that at this very moment. But I need to have one grand jury administrator leader in every state. And actually, he's probably going to be a courtroom observer leader, because I can foresee us actually blending the three groups into one nested group. And we need each state, so that when we have a national leader, which is the job that Eric was doing, which no one can deny, was phenomenally successful. Judges froze in their tracks. Judges are recognizing the call-outs. You can't argue with success. So we know it works. We're not asking anybody to step up for a flash in the pan or an experiment. This is not a social experiment that we're doing here. We're asking you to join something that's already successful. And I need each state. So all of you folks out there that see people are already dropping off the line. And that's very discouraging to me. They run when it's asked to do work. But I'll tell you guys, I can't tell you how many people I call and say, is there any way I can start getting that salary now? I'm really hurting. Oh my God. And a lot of the people, I recognize so many names on this call, people who are busy doing stuff. I mean, I see Steve in Oregon, Tammy in Indiana, John Porter. Oops, I didn't mean to say your last name. But I'm telling you, people who are carrying the loads, those are the people who are going to be recognized for being on the calls. Those are the people who will be, records will be kept. The civics course is monitored for completion, and we do have people that are 100%. In fact, we have a significant number of people that are 100%. I need one person or more in each state to reply to me in an email that being a leader in your state would be something that would be worth considering. Because we need to have a communication structure, because the mass email can be confusing. When everybody is receiving an email, and then it's like you get down to the bottom, oh, Colorado, and you live in Michigan. That didn't help you. Unless it's a call out, then that would work. But when we need feet on the ground heading to the courts, and sometimes we have to move fast because some people hit us behind the eight ball. Or the courts are very tricky, and they adjust the dates and try to fix it by scheduling it like the last case, or court normally starts at 8:30, so they hold the case at 8 o'clock. They're trying to get away from us, guys. This is an old trick, nothing new, and we have to be able to meet that. In fact, there are judges that are holding their decisions and say, well, I'll notify you by mail. And then they completely do the corrupt thing. We have to be ready to move on our feet. So we need a leadership structure that will support a communication structure that the national leader, whoever is going to be that, in fact, if somebody would like to step up to be a national leader, a co-national leader, to make this thing work so one person isn't doing all of it, that is where things start happening. And that's when our momentum can actually move mountains. And then other people in the courthouse, they're going to say, oh my gosh, what just happened? And I would imagine that the courtroom observers are eventually going to have NLA cards. People can join the NLA. Next thing you know, like already, we're getting 8 to 10 real live people every day joining. And almost every single one of them either are just ardent patriots or they just had their kids taken away. So guys, there's a lot of people out there that are wounded. So leaders, reply to me in emails about, because some people have said that they can't travel to courthouses, but we need leaders who can, you know, finger a phone, use a computer, communicate. That's one thing. Then the next thing we're going to do is we're going to set up, along with that, a notification structure. We're going to start setting up text messaging because not everybody's in front of their computer all the time. We're gonna work out a centralized texting that's going to be utilizing a texting server. I haven't talked to John about it yet, but it's going to be something that's going to make things tick-tock so that not only are we going to have emails, we're going to have texting so that we're going to have our warriors armed with the information they need to get to the courthouses. Because even just one courtroom observer with a notebook with a big label of courtroom observer on it is going to make a difference. Now, for the fun part, training. There's going to be training involved for the people that are going to be courtroom observers. They're going to be trained in how to file the paperwork with the judges, informing them that they're going to be showing up, that they're going to be exercising their right under the Constitution and their right as recognized by the Supreme Court to carry recording equipment or cameras into the courthouse. And this training will also include behavior in the courtrooms. Sometimes, and I think we've witnessed some of this on some of our calls, people can be a little bit of a hothead. That doesn't work in a court, and it's not going to help us. We need to maintain a decorum, and we need to maintain low tones. If we're talked to, in a case that I was involved with, the judge was asking who the people were that weren't wearing suits. He recognized that not everybody in the courtroom was an attorney, and he was asking everybody their name. And they happened to be there for a case of mine. And luckily, they asked Andy first, and Andy said, "My name is Andy." He goes, "Well, what's your last name?" "Not important. I'm here based on my rights that are guaranteed in the Constitution, that this is a public trial, and I'm allowed to be here." And then he started asking all the others, and then they gave the same answer because he got away with it. But I've also heard people have maybe even been arrested. Now, I don't want to go too far into that because I've only heard of exceptions, and none of them I've seen were validated. But it could happen, and we need to be prepared and trained on how we're going to marshal our forces to circle the wagons. And believe me, guys, we will circle the wagons. So we're going to have this the training set in place. And the next thing is transition. When I talk about transition, is I mean we're transitioning and recognizing an already existing operation going on. I'm just wanting to turn it up. As it stands right now, we have nearly tripled the courtroom observer membership. And we need to transition this into a normal, ordinary, active, what word do I want to use? A program within the NLA, because it's going to grow our numbers. It's going to get people more fair judicial decisions. It's going to let the judges know we're there, and then they're going to get used to seeing us. So that's pretty much all that I had for presentation. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over to the queue. I'm learning how to do this, so I'm going to go with my, let's see if this Gary. Works.
Well, all you have to do is hit next question, and that'll automatically take care of things when you're done.
Oh, okay.
Hit next question again. Just
so
hit it
I
once.
Do,
hit it
if
once.
I do next question now, it's not going to dump the first guy?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. Okay, is Jan, this, you were going to say something?
Is this for NLA members only?
I really don't mind because I'm really hoping that this is going to grow our ranks. If it's a non-NLA member and they're disruptive, I want it to be an immediate out. Mm-hmm. Don't even bother muting. Just drop them.
Okay.
And then I will lock the conference.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't worry too much about those
I'm
things.
Not.
Just mute
I'm
the
not.
Person if they're a troublemaker and move on. Look, we'll always get people who are in for trouble, and then we'll get people who accidentally just stick their foot in the mouth and they don't really necessarily mean harm. So we'll just go forward, but go ahead.
That's all right. And, hey, but
you
I've mastered the art
thing.
Of...
When you're, done with the next person, just hit that next question once.
Thank you.
And it'll just rotate for you.
All right, thank you. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and try this out, and it's going to be Alex... MD, can you hear? Can you speak up?
Yeah, I think you got the wrong name, but this is Don Freeze from Pennsylvania, and
that's
I don't
weird.
Think my question is appropriate for this forum. So
all right, Don, let's save
request.
That. Let's go ahead and we'll move on to the next one.
All right.
All right, Don, thank you. But I have, thanks. I mean, Don, were you the phone number ending in 2426?
No, I was not. 8157.
All right. I don't even see you in the queue.
Well,
he seems to be
talking through that phone number you're looking at, 2426. He's talking through that. So somehow.
Yeah.
However,
right,
I don't recognize
one.
That number at all,
all
John,
right.
to be honest with you.
Well, by the way, Don, you're a doctor now, so, hey, you got that going for you.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and move to the next caller at phone number ending in 8066.
Yeah, this is Scott. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, and I'm trying to find you in my list here. What'd you say your name was, Scott?
Palmer, yeah.
Okay, in what state are you?
South Carolina.
South?
I believe we talked on the phone today.
Okay, South Carolina. I'm sorry. What'd you say your first name was again? Scott Palmer?
Scott. Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
Well, anyway, what I was going to say is I've been a member for about a month now. I've already taken the course, and I've sent in, it probably hasn't got there yet, but I've sent in my oath. And I'm willing to step up to the plate to, do a lot of work for the NLA. I do work full-time. And so I don't need a salary. but basically, what my question was, why can't we make these writs templates, fill in the blank and go? You know,
they are going to be. They okay. will be. But there's also going to be other paperwork for filing into the courts. There's that will be different from county to county and state to state. But mostly there will be templates. But there's going to also have to be the ability to know, in not necessarily intuitively, but intellectually, how to customize the writ for each individual case. But yes, you're very close. That it will be fairly templatized, but it's not going to be a fill-in-the-blanks, I can assure you of that.
Okay, well, I can understand that, but at least you could cut and paste.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely a fact.
I was just thinking in case of emergency, you know, where you need to make up a writ fairly quickly.
Yeah. And it's not just the writ. It's knowing how to file it, the right court to go to, and filing, getting it filed correctly and so on. But, yes, Scott, we will definitely be doing that. We're not going to be reinventing the wheel with each case.
Right.
Is that it, Scott?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. And next is Dean.
Hey, this is Dean in New Hampshire. I got the email the other day that was requesting us to call on behalf of a case, and I certainly was inspired by the Stephen Dean release last week and wanted to make a call, but I really didn't know where to start, and the thought came to mind that it would be useful, at least for someone new to this game like me, to hear some other people make those calls. So if we had recorded some or even had a conference call where somebody was making some calls, that would be a great training, and it would certainly also create a proper context for how to behave and what to say on the phone that would be
that's great
over time.
That's a great idea. I got a note made of that right now, that we should have scripts of what we're going to say. Like when we're going to call a prosecutor, which might be different than calling a judge, which might be different than calling, you know, another type of official.
Well, the script doesn't even need to be, well, it can, obviously can be text, but the script could literally be a verbal conversation or a verbal dialogue on a recorded line where you could just you know, like we pick the interviews off the website now, the NLA website. You know, we can listen to some of the interviews that have gone on in the past. And
right.
If you were able to go into a room, you know, courtroom observer room on the webpage and said, okay, here's what it's like to make a call. Or there's a lot of ideas I'm sure you could derive from that, but thanks. There was one other question that I wanted to say is that, well, I didn't want to, maybe not a question, but I started the civics course a couple months ago, and then I started kicking it in about a month ago and listening to the calls. And so I am pretty excited and thrilled about what's going on, and I absolutely love the civics course, because it somehow I have been down that road of learning for the last year. So I'm looking forward to being on the courtroom observers, and I'm wondering if there's some online training for that already that I don't know about.
No, there's nothing online at this time.
Okay. How do we learn to be courtroom observer?
That's going to be something that's going to be we're going to be doing this one step at a time. Right now, I need to set up a leadership structure, and then we're going to be bringing people forward that have the experience that will be doing the training.
Okay.
And we'll even bring some live people that have been making calls.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, and thank you, Dean.
Yep.
Okay. The next person is Kimari.
That is Michael from California. That sounds like Gary running the show tonight. How are you doing, Gary?
Doing good, Michael.
I heard John's voice earlier. Is Robert on the call, too?
Yep, Bob is here, and so is Jan.
Is Dave Connors on the call?
Don't know.
No? Okay, I understand that this email I got from you was about making sure that there was some stuff coordinated for courtroom observers. Is that correct?
That's what we're doing. Did you just join late?
Yeah, I had something that I got held up on. I just came in late, so I just missed the whole first part of the call, but that's what I got.
The first part of the call, was to have leaders step forward for the states.
Yeah.
And then the states can even set up their own leaders in the counties. But we need state leaders to step forward immediately. And then that's how the communication structure is going to go as well.
Okay, well, I'm understanding from the Monday night call that I couldn't get through the queue on. I had sent, without getting too convoluted here in my points, a couple weeks ago I had sent an email out to all the leaders through John, and I always BCC copies to you and Robert and Dave, and had mentioned that the Q&A on the Monday night call, it just takes too long with people that they don't consider a regular time limit for everybody. They should curtail it to 5 minutes max. Then you wouldn't have to apologize. And every now I heard you jump in a few times on John that, John, we got to move on. And you never did even get out of the new people calling in. And I heard you say it was a new record for the number of people in the queue. So rather than...
I know, so we promised 30 seconds apiece.
Yeah, well, it was anything but that. So what I'm saying is if you guys can come up with a time limit and you can stick to that, you probably get more people through and less people frustrated and giving up. The second thing was this court observer thing. I was getting a bunch of texts the other day from Eric. I don't know his last name. He was, I think, from – I can't remember what state he's from, but
he's New York.
What's his last name?
It's Eric Hughes Jones.
Eric Hughes something. He said he was the committee chair at one time for the court observers, and he was sending all the texts about Steve and Dean and all these people. And then he was sending other texts saying that, I'll just read it. He said the other day he sent me one. He said people were changing his posts and putting stuff up in his name. And
Let me just pipe in here. There was a misunderstanding between people, and it escalated, and that's how things go with people. And everybody got heated up. Everybody's cooled off now. We have a special meeting tomorrow to settle it amongst the people that are involved in that, and there's no need to discuss it in the public. Eric is still the leader, the director of this group. And again, this was called on behalf of the entire National Liberty Alliance to try to consolidate and get everybody involved in this group, and also everyone in this group, if possible, involved in becoming administrators. And so anyway, it was a it was an unfortunate situation that kept just kept growing, and whoever got involved in hearing what went on, they shouldn't have. And and everybody's going to be very humble and apologetic tomorrow, and we're going to move forward on this thing. And again, Eric is still the director of this group, unless he steps down for some reason. That's up to him. But other than that, we're going to go forward. We'll get a new director if he does, but I don't think he's going to. But anyway, there's no need to get into this part of the conversation.
Right. I'm going to go on to the next guy.
Well, I got one final point.
Michael, I am so sorry.
See if you can find him in the other out there in the main list, and maybe we can let him have his final point.
Well, Michael, can you jump back in the queue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's not that long, so you could jump back in the queue, Michael.
Right.
Yeah, it's not that long. You only got about five people in the queue, so. But anyway, I'm off. My mic's muted.
All right. Yeah, you know, just for the record, last week when I started this activity, my goal, my plan was, I would not be having this conversation right now. But all I was going to do was the administrative portion, which was setting up the meeting, getting the people, and helping with the structure, putting in the infrastructure for communications. My plan is that Eric was going to be running this. All right. I haven't seen Michael jump back in. He probably got ticked off at me and... Oh, Michael, I'm sorry. Okay, but now we have, is California Lauren?
Yes, that's Lauren.
Lauren, sorry.
Yes. Hey, no, that's all right, Gary. Yes, in regards to the administrator, I'm in between two different counties. Is there any way that I can be administrator in more than one county?
Not in more than one, no.
Oh,
you
okay.
You can be a courtroom observer in more than one county, but you can't have two full-time jobs.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, I'm complete. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm going to move on to the next. And that's going to be some woman named Lori in Colorado. I can't imagine who that is. Lori.
Hi, this is Joe. I don't know how Lori came in, but I was just told that I was unmuted.
Hmm. Interesting.
This is Joe in New England. I'm calling in from a...
Well, the problem is because he came in under an anonymous, and the last time you hit an anonymous with a name, the next anonymous comes in. You should clear that off, anonymous.
I am going to clear it off.
And let them maintain themselves as anonymous.
I will. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and clear that up, but go ahead and state your question.
Yeah, this is Joe in New England. I just got a Skype number, and I haven't figured out how to put the caller ID in yet, but when I do that, I won't come up anonymous anymore. I apologize. I guess my question was wondering if I'm a member of the welcoming committee.
Yeah.
I was going to offer my services or those of our group and see if it might work out. If you, Gary, or John think it's a good idea to use the welcoming committee to maybe resurrect some of the people taking the civics course who've dropped off, if we could all maybe get 10 or a dozen names and just reach out to people taking the civics course and also invite them to become part of this this new group where you're teaching us how to write writs. And maybe just some people are stuck because, you know, online learning is a new thing, and I think some people aren't used to learning alone. And if we're taking it with some group support, I think it might get some people either reactivated or re-enrolled and get the habit of signing back in, logging on, and taking some of the quizzes again.
Yeah.
That's all for tonight.
I think that is a great idea. I want to thank you for that. That is a great idea. And I'll be back to you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, I'm going to move on to the next one. Is the phone number ending in 8996 that I did not properly document?
This is Laura Legere. It said I was unmuted, and I'm from Seattle.
Yes. Okay, this is Laura?
Yeah.
In what state are you?
Washington.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question about that email that we got about calling all the different phone numbers. I think I got confused. I think a script or some kind of outline of how to talk to to them because I kept getting asked, what group are you with? And I kept saying, we the people. And he goes, is that incorporated? And I guess I was hesitant to say, you know, National Liberty Alliance or the Common Law Grand Jury, but I'm wondering if it's best to say I'm part of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury if they ask that.
Yes. Well, actually, you're probably going to be speaking not from the – well, actually, John, would they be speaking from the Unified
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thing. We're thinking about how to couch all of this stuff, particularly with the observers. And after all, we are the administrators, or we're focusing in to become the administrators. And right now, we are the administrators until we get in, and those who want to take on that full-time job will maintain that. So we can identify ourselves with the grand jury. We may, you know, I'm going to think about how we're going to put this together, but courtroom observers and connected with the grand jury. And so, therefore, when they see us, we'll get these badges or these ID cards. We'll have something made up. I'll talk with somebody and see if we can't get an ID card made up. And you send your picture into them, and then they would put it all together for us, and we'll create the necessary logos and so on and so forth, and even put a phone number on the back or some information or something. And we'll have to sit down and figure out how we're going to do it. But I think it would be very powerful to be some kind of a position where you're not only coming in to observe, but we're not just people just observing. We have some authority, and we have some concerns, and we can take this report to the whole and force enforcement through orders through the court for judges or different people to obey when they're out of order, and we can, you know, take it to that next step. So I'm going to be thinking about that, and hopefully by next Tuesday we'll have an answer or a solution or something for how we're going to do that.
Okay. I have a suggestion for I think the back of the lanyard should have the two court cases that state that you have the right to film, and you can just read them off your lanyard.
Yeah, I agree. We should look at. We're going to set something up. Matter of fact, maybe we're going to stop making notifications concerning filming in the courtrooms to all the courts directly. You know, we could do that from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury perspective and let them know, and we can give them the information and the court cases that back that up, and then of course everybody should have that ammunition. We'll make sure that they have that ammunition. We are writing also an administrator's handbook, and nobody's getting a copy of that unless they are going through the course or in the course, going through the course, completed the course, and participating in some activity, for instance, how to learn how to write different writs and different bills that we'll have to write and learn all that stuff. Well, those are the people, and you take your vow, okay? Once we got that, that's when we'll give out the handbooks. Now, the handbooks are still in writing, so we haven't really completed them yet. But these handbooks will tell everything you need to know. It'll really be able to direct you on how to go forward, and when you have to do something, you'll be able to look it up and see how to go forward with that and what kind of paperwork or whatever the case may be. Also on how to orientate a trial jury or the grand jury and so on and so forth. And we'll try to cover all the bases. We've already created the outline for the book. That's done. We may have to add more as we go, but we got a pretty good grip on it, I think. And it's just a matter of bringing it all together. Now, we don't want to just hand this out or make it available for anyone to get, because we don't want someone to go into the courts that's not going to take a vow, that's going to destroy everything that we're doing. We're going with principles. And the bottom line is this. The king of the court is the creator of the universe. That is the king. We are the king's bench. We represent that king. And that's the law that our founding fathers have brought in to our nation, which is called common law. It's also referred to as natural law. It is God's law. Man doesn't make the law to control us. God makes the law. That's who controls us. And any law that man writes is really the laws necessary that we gave them under Article 1 of the Constitution in order to govern ourselves. Those are the laws that they can make. The laws necessary to govern ourselves as a whole and as a people, but they cannot make a law concerning controlling your behavior. That's between you and God, and when you injure an individual, that's when it becomes a problem where you have to now could be taken into court or, you know, some kind of a situation would take place. But so we have to represent that law, which is the law of the land, and so we want people who are going to come in, take the oath, and come in with the principles, sense of honor, justice, and mercy, because we will be cursed and not blessed if we come in with revenge or anything else. And we also, there's a process on how to get into the courts and what we have to do. So as soon as that door opens up, we're going to lay that process out, how to get the funding and all the necessary things in order to run the services within your county. We certainly don't want to give that to the enemy, because believe me, there are people out there, they are the enemies of what we are doing, and they're not necessarily the enemy in the sense that we're thinking of the elite. There are people that are out on a trip of anger and revenge, and they keep, you know, I've had contacts with a lot of these people trying to push me in different directions and go this way or that way, and they don't have patience. And we don't want these people, and they're egotistical, we don't want these people getting into the controls of their counties. Now, in order to get into this process, you've got to come through us. Now, that doesn't mean that some of these people won't figure this out and get into a place and try to do something and create some chaos. But bear in mind, if they break the law, we're going to have to indict them. So, you know, we will watch and hopefully be able to control this as best as possible. And that's why we have to really get a move on this now, develop whatever leadership we can, get some state leadership together. And when people come in, they have to learn through us. They'll learn the principles. They'll learn the process. They'll learn the procedures. They'll come in with the right attitude. And we'll really be working to save the nation and to make sure people get restitution and we're not here for any kind of, you know, violence or any kind of a get-even kind of attitude.
Right. And okay. So thank you very much, Lori.
Okay, well, I still have one more question about the vow, because my partner and I are both signed up as court as administrators, and we are getting ready to move permanently to Virginia in September. And so I guess I'm a little confused on the vow before that. I mean, can we wait until we get to Virginia and take it?
Just go sign up under that county. That's all.
Yeah, just do it right now, Lori.
If you know your address already, change your address to
okay.
Put your new county, your new state, whatever it is, and your profile, and then you'll catch a place in that county if you're going through the course.
Okay. I do have one thing. I talked to John Rowe today because I'm the one that called in about the vet and his wife that, you know, are getting thrown out of their house for painting their garage door, you know, without a permit. Anyway, he told me that Rod Class had a successful court case against the transportation department in North Carolina, and for the free right to travel, and the judge stood up and told the police, "You better get your names off of your assets because they're coming for you and they're all lawyers." So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Does he still seek our help?
Who, Rod Class?
No, the other guy.
I'm talking about what John told me while we were just having this conversation.
Oh,
but John is totally on this case. Everybody's, you know, feeling very happy about what's happening with that now. So he's great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
All right. Now, David, you are next in the queue. But before you start, I've received a couple of Skype questions, and the letters and stuff that are going to be posted on the website, as well as the texts that will be going out, they will be of a professional nature. We are putting together some policies right now for how we're going to govern our view, or the public's view of us. we don't want to be branded anything particular. We're trying to stay mainstream so that we can't be labeled. And we're trying to steer clear of the label of sovereign citizen, because as anybody knows right now, you claim sovereign citizen in a traffic ticket, you're going to get probably shot in the street. So we're trying to keep a positive and professional appearance, and trust me, it is going to be professional going forward. And I don't think we're going to have any problems. But so, David, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, this is Dave from Oregon. Just had a question on the training to write the writs. We have to be in a group. Which group is going to be overseeing that? And when does the training start?
Next Tuesday, the training is going to start. It's going to be on this same call-in line. And there will
it's
be another
be,
reminder going out.
We're planning on holding it in a Monday room, but we can change it to this. But I put it out to the Monday room.
No, we don't. No, John. Keep it the Monday room.
Yeah, and it's going to be orientation is pretty much is going to be the beginning. It's really orientation to prepare now for the lessons, and the lessons are going to be broken up, and people are going to be broken up into groups, and you're going to get involved with cases that we're actually going forward with, and you'll be learning how to write cases. So that's really, and we got to put all that together. And there's a lot to learn, but really, you know, when you get through all this, you know, you look back and it's not all that much. But nevertheless, there are things to learn. And also a mindset, you know, understanding, you know, who you are and what you represent. Okay, you're one of the people and you represent the people. We're investigative bodies for the grand juries, and as administrators, we get the chance to do investigations and do different things, of course. But we have a lot to plan and lay it out, and again, a lot of it's going to be in a handbook at some point. And you'll always be able to reference to that handbook. And I shouldn't really call it a handbook, because it's going to be a full-size book in the sense that we're going to do it on 8.5 by 11 sheets, and we'll create a book of some kind. But again, we don't want people to share that with anyone. It's your personal book, and of course, you know, we don't want it to get out to people who might come in and be destructive instead of constructive.
Yeah, and David, if you want to contact me tomorrow, I can make sure that you're in the right groups.
Yeah. So I should be joining the Courtroom Observer so I get all the information and emails and stuff like that, right?
Yep, just ping me tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah, there are two groups we particularly have. I mean, we have groups for every state, but these two groups, one is also the media group. Everybody should kind of just tap in on that too. Just keep a little tension on things, what's going on, and when we're asked to just forward things, you just forward it along, because we're really trying to break open into the media. So everybody should be doing that. You don't have to be real active, but every once in a while you get an email and you'll be requested to forward this information to everyone you know, and that's all you got to do. A little bit of emailing or Facebook stuff or tweeting or whatever it is you do, if you do it.
All right.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David. Our next one is John in Washington. You are in the queue. Or Idaho, John in Idaho.
Yeah, I think you've answered my questions.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll head and go on to Jason in New Jersey. Jason?
Hi, Greg. You know, it's interesting about leadership. The most important thing in leadership is its ability of the leader to have impeccable. The word must be impeccable. Don't make assumptions. Don't take things personally, and do your best. And the most important thing in becoming being part of a team is the respecting of the individual's dissent or adverse view of the leadership. And when the individual is
Jason, do you have a question?
My question is, the most important thing that I see that's perplexing to me is that I'm having my court case this Thursday, and March 24th I was jumped by security officers of the U.S. Marshals courtroom, and I've done my best to do my part, to do my paperwork. And if anybody wants to come to Newark, New Jersey, or into New York, it's at going to be in the U.S. Post Office and Courthouse Building, 2 Federal Square, Courtroom 8 at 8.
Hey, Jason, send me all that. Jason, send me that information, and I will knock
again,
it out.
Again, the leadership, the tobacco here.
Wait, Jason?
Eric,
hey, Jason? 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 Oh, what heck? What went on? What happened?
Someone hit that button, the wrong button.
I did not hit that button.
Yeah, people should get back in. Somebody hit the wrong button. I was gonna go mute Jason because to let him know we're not gonna be talking about the quote unquote debacle. I mean, why make a debacle when it's not a debacle anyway?
It's not.
Just a misunderstanding. We're gonna deal with it, and it just doesn't make sense to come out in public and talk about things that are private.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
I didn't want to be preached to either.
Yeah.
There's people with questions, and I'm not looking for a preacher. I'm going to go ahead and get started. I got some next caller is phone number ending in 1111, and I apologize to everybody. Oh, I know how I did it. Okay, at least I learned. Okay, phone number ending 1111.
Hello.
Hello there.
Good evening. How are you?
Hi, we're doing very, very good. And good. What is your state?
Connecticut.
And
Crystal.
Your name?
Crystal from Connecticut. Sorry,
oh,
last night. Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, sorry, last night. I guess I must have fell asleep. I was trying to ask a question. I got the media, and we had some horrible incidents up here. We had a child who broke her arms in 3 places at a school. They never notified the parents. So what we did, we contacted this because they came to my house. We contacted the head of the state of DCS, so we hit it right in their ball corner. So none of them from the governor's office on down.
Well, hey, Crystal, this may not be the right forum.
Oh, okay, all righty.
For your call, this is Courtroom Observers.
Okay.
If you need intervention, you can talk. You know, if you go into the website in the directory, you'll see the IRT group.
Mm-hmm.
They may
I don't,
help
let
you.
Me tell, I don't use a computer. I don't have a computer. But as I said, I've been, you know, I...
You're in the wrong spot. I don't mean to cut you off or anything.
Okay,
just,
I'm sorry.
This
yeah,
is
it
not
sounds
right
like
there.
She probably needs to be in with the people dealing with the family court because we have a lot of lawsuits going there.
Okay, and also, let me just finish this. I also got the TV... can I just please finish? Because I've been trying to get a hold of you for the past 2 weeks.
Well, you got the wrong
I also show. Got the TV media, so they're following up on everything, too. Channel
yeah, well,
7.
You know, if you get a hold of Sheila, you know, she can definitely tie everything together for whatever it is that you want to do or any messages or communications. If you need to talk to me directly and it's important, then you can call me at 845-233-6560.
Okay.
But you can also get a hold of Sheila. Over at the media, because she runs also with the work over with the director in the CPS lawsuit, and those people are probably the people you want to talk to because they're talking the same kind of problems.
And
yeah,
also, the other thing I used to work into was the tax. They tried to foreclose on my house, and I basically almost won my case on it myself, putting things together. So I can help people in that aspect.
Well, very
okay.
good. Join the committee.
Do
as I said, those are because I did that work for 40 years. So those are the two strong points I'm in with children and taxes.
Do you have access to a computer?
I'm sorry?
Do you have access to a computer?
No, but I said a friend of mine, she's going to be coming on board too. She has it, so I can...
Okay, yeah, because it sounds like we can use your help. It sounds like you got some experience. We can use the experience.
Yeah, definitely. I do have
Get a hold of the CPS and also the media. Again, particularly to get all of the CPS or the family court.
Okay, what number is the CPS? And Sheila's number.
I'll give you that in a minute. Let him move on to the next caller.
All right, it's fine.
I'll read out the number in a minute or two as soon as I get it, okay?
Well, you've got my number, so this way, you know. Okay.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
I'll give you that info in a short. Go ahead. Take the next person and I'll
All right, Bradley. In Texas.
Yes. I just want to know if I can talk to John for about 2 minutes when this call is over. I've been given an assignment.
Okay, just stay on the line, and I'm going to move on to the next caller.
Thank you,
Brad. Thank you, Bradley. All right, phone number ending in 3010. You are just unmuted.
Hey, we are supposed to take the civics course for this, right?
Yes.
I cannot, for some reason, access it. I just keep getting the quiz and not the course. Is there something I'm doing wrong?
Oh, do me a favor. Send me an email tomorrow. Well, actually, wait a second. I know what might help. What state are you from?
North Carolina.
Whoops. Hold on a second.
Are you there?
Yep, I am. And what is your name? Your first name?
Susan.
Okay. Do me a favor. Call me tomorrow. And let me give you my number. 248-620-1201. And we'll look at that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, let me give that other lady the information.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Sheila, which is the media campaign group, and Sheila's very active also with the CPS lawsuit committee. So you can get a hold of Sheila at 845-427-1946. It's 845-427-1946. And Gina is the director, excuse me, of the CPS lawsuit committee. And you can get her, Gina, at 732-642-0261. That's 732-642-0261. And if you got access to the computer, just go up on nationallibertyalliance.org, click on directory, and then look on the committees and groups, and you'll find the names and numbers there. All right, back to you.
All right, phone number ending in 3008 in Michigan.
This is Gary Dunn from Michigan.
All right, Gary.
I work with Eric in the courtroom observers.
Yes, sir.
I'm up in age, so basically mine is basically phone calls, but we've been trying to get to court. One of the things that I personally done, I've worked it out with Eric, is every time I call a court, a judge, or whatever it is to do with the situation, I identify myself by my name, identify that I'm a member of National Liberty Alliance, and I identify that I'm working with the courtroom observers. And then I said, this is the purpose that I'm calling. It's only to guarantee the constitutional rights of the person that I'm mentioning to you. I make that very clear that there's no other agenda. And I go through a form of questions with him, and I've even had to be switched over to a chaplain. In the case of Steve Dean, I talked to both chaplains over there. I'm going to make this sort of quick and short. And I say to the anyone who asks me, especially a chaplain, I said, well, he said, we don't have an interest in this. I said, where does inalienable rights come from? And they agree, from our Father. And I said, well, then you do have an interest in this case.
Wow, you, that is powerful.
And this is what we do. I worked out some things with Eric on this whole thing, and so far, and the thing is to never argue with these people, no matter what they bring up. Don't form an argument with them. I close by saying this. If you are not going to observe and give the person his constitutional rights, then you will be hearing from NLA in a different sort of a capacity. And I leave it at that and hang up. So thanks, John, for everything you do. And I know that it's going to be much easier talking to courts. It's already easier. I talked to court on Misty and Couch, I think, out in South Dakota. It's a lot easier to talk to them when you tell them you're a member of NLA. They know who NLA is now.
Oh, you bet you they do.
You bet, and it makes it a lot easier for the person calling. You got to take your own ego out of this thing and know you're calling for the purpose of the person that's incarcerated or just being held or whatever they do. And you can form your own questions from there.
All right.
Well, thank you, Gary, very much, and thanks for the number. I'll get to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Okay, we now have John on the VoIP line.
Hi, this is Donald Meyer from NLA District 7 Coordinator.
Yes, Don.
Hi, how's it going, Gary?
It's going well.
anyway, on July 11th, I attended a courtroom proceeding for David Roach, and I was surprised by all the errors that the judge was making. It's amazing that they get away with the stuff that they do. But there is one question that, or one thing that I'd like to say is, you know, when you're voting for a politician, you can never tell if your vote counts. But I can tell you this for a fact, that if you go to the courtroom as an observer, and I went to the courtroom as just an observer, I said not one word during the whole proceeding, that it can make a lot of difference. For instance, David Roach said that if I had not been there, he would have been in handcuffs and in jail again for another 60 days because, or nine, I'm sorry, 30 days, because he tried the same strategy that he did the last time, and he ended up in incarcerated for 30 days.
But well, keep in mind, they depend on you having nobody to help you.
Right.
And well, they drag you six counties away.
Yeah. Generally, David would be sitting there with his mom and his girlfriend and a friend or two. But this time, I was sitting there. I was all dressed up in business casual attire. And, again, did not say a word. But the judge cast her eyes on me a lot because I was an unknown in her courtroom. So don't let anybody ever say that we don't make a difference. Just by being there, we made a change that was unquestionable. So that's all I have to say. There was no question. So
thank you, Don. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Okay. The next person is Curtis in Virginia, one of our state coordinators. Curtis. Oop, just lost you. Don't know what happened. I'm going to go to the next one here. Oh, I hope this works. And it looked like it worked. We have Anonymous. You are just unmuted.
I'm Trish in Arkansas.
All right, Trish.
Hi. So I just wanted to make a suggestion, really, in dealing with writing writs for individuals and other paperwork for individuals, wouldn't it be a good idea to also teach them at the same time, maybe coach them how to do it for themselves whenever possible?
Oh, well, of course. That goes without saying. In fact, I would imagine when we had civics courses, we would learn how to do that. But we've been all dumbed down systematically, and to the point where even attorneys believe that they're the law of the land. So needless to say, you're right. But we be able to do your own, sometimes it's not possible. You need the ability of somebody on the outside to help
right,
you.
But my point I was trying to make badly, sorry, was teaching the person to do it as opposed to just writing it for them means we'd be spreading the ability of other people to help others. You know, they get through their thing, now they're trained in the paperwork, and they can start coaching others.
I couldn't agree with you more, Trish.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's it.
All right. Now, next is a phone number ending in 9115. You were just unmuted.
Yeah, hi.
Hello there.
It's just great time. I want to call in and say what a fantastic job you're doing gathering these people together and say thank you for everybody who's...
Thank you. What state are you from?
I'm from the state of Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
And your first name again was, I didn't catch that.
It's Greg. Greg.
Todd. Greg. All right, Greg, you're in. Go ahead.
Great. I want to ask a question if that gentleman could, anybody to call me regarding, who was it now? I made a note for the deal here. Hold on a second, Gary. What did I do with this? I was multitasking. I think I buried the darn thing. There was a gentleman that called in regarding this script. His name was Gary.
Yeah, that was Gary in Michigan, I think.
Yeah, for the call-in. If you have his number, just to remind you, just to get it to me if you can.
The
script.
Yeah, that's gotten me in trouble. I don't want to violate anybody's privacy because that's why I'm going by first names only and just giving somebody.
If you don't mind giving him my number somehow, you know, I'd like to talk to him about that.
Okay. All right. Then let's see here. Okay, hold on.
Well, I can put my number out there, whatever whatever you feel.
Yeah, that I can do.
All right. My number is 561.
Yep.
727.
Mm-hmm.
9115.
Okay, to Gary in Michigan. Gotcha.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, sir. All right, and the next one we have is a phone number ending in 4882.
Yeah, I've been taking the grand jury administrator course, but is the quiz and the course the same thing?
Yes, they go together. You take the course, you need to take the test.
Well, isn't the civics course?
Yes.
You hit the quiz.
Oh, are you getting a quiz instead of a course?
Well, it says quiz.
No, they are quiz. Yeah, it's all of that is the civics course, okay? And then, of course, we have the extended courses for administrators. That's what we're working on now. And that we're going to start on Tuesday for orientation for that, and then we're going to start, working through that course, the people who are interested in getting involved in it.
And that's not up yet.
No, that's going to be people coming to, well, actually, we'll explain everything next Tuesday, how that's going to work.
Okay.
All right. So, thank you.
So we'll have a meeting next Tuesday in a Monday night room for this. But
all right. Okay, thanks.
Okay, Curtis, I accidentally disconnected you. I'm going to put you on right now. Curtis.
Yes, sir. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, thanks. My phone was in some kind of a mode, and when I hit it to answer, it hung me up.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, well, it wasn't you. It was me. I hung me up when I touched my thing, and I guess you just went to the next person.
Anyway, I'm just taking the blame because I'm getting the blame for everything anyway.
You know, well, you're a good-hearted man.
Thank you, sir.
And a just one. The reason I was speaking is I heard a young lady earlier mention Laura and her associate was coming to Virginia. That got my attention, of course.
How about I hook her up with you?
Give her my phone number.
Yeah, I will do that.
Give her my phone number and I will call her. I've had several other people call. I've been calling this past week. I've been really, really busy, so I've been slow getting to them, but I did make calls to them. We're moving ahead. We're getting our people together. They've got to get time, I guess, to complete those tests.
Yes.
So I do have some good people in court. I have a couple of guys that are working the court system really good, very sharp. It's been kind of slow explaining to them. They got to get out of that statutory side and get into the common law side. I think it's hard for a lot of people to grasp that.
It is.
But also, yeah, I wanted to also mention that I do have my own set of jurisprudence. I have the American Jurisprudence books, the first edition from, I have the first 30 books with index. And I've been going through those, and man, I got to tell you, everything we've been doing, it just firms it up. I've gotten to where I can read various court cases. And I can determine whether these people are trying to use statutory, no U.S. citizenship, artificial, or whether they're coming through from a sovereign standpoint, a non-U.S. but a state national. And it's amazing. I mean, black people are being terribly damaged through this statutory system, this 14th Amendment thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
all of us are. It encompassed us all.
It does. It hurts us all. But they're being destroyed by this, by that 14th Amendment. They're just being trashed. And I spend a lot of my time trying to get the African, what we call, what we refer to as African. I don't mean to demean them or anybody else. But we are people, and we don't need a 14th Amendment to get our citizenship. God gave that to us, and we just need to stand up, because the law does not protect those who stumble on their rights.
Right.
You know, that's where we're coming from. But I've been really deep in it. But I'm just wanted to say something. I hadn't been on the line for a while.
I will get you hooked up tomorrow, Curtis.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I'm done.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going to go to the next caller. Is New York, Richard?
No, it's actually Carl.
Okay, Carl.
But hey, how are you? I know you guys have, you need some technology-oriented people, and I was just willing to help. So, I actually was going to join the Common Law Advisory Committee with Don.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering if you guys wanted me instead, because I do some expertise with computer stuff, to maybe be part of the Geek Squad committee or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Buzz me tomorrow. Call me at my number, 248.
Okay,
620.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Let me get a pen. Okay, what's your number?
248-620.
Okay.
620-1201.
Okay. 1201. Okay.
Thank you. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yes, sounds good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, David, in Oregon, you're back again?
Yeah, I just wanted your phone number. You just gave it out. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. And now we got, Julia.
Hello, this is Julia again. I was just commenting on the many questions about getting on to the civics course. There does seem to be, I don't know, some sort of glitch in it, but I tried different things for about 35 minutes, and I discovered that when you have to log in first, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then you put your cursor on the civics course, which is on the blue line. And it's the drop-down menu that is confusing, because it gives you a choice of grand jury administration, help with quiz, and take a quiz, but it doesn't say anything about start the course.
Ah.
But if you hit the civics course again while it's in drop-down, you hit the blue thing again, then it will open the page that says free common law courses, which I assume is the page that people are looking for. Is that correct?
Well, when you go to click on you can click on civics course. Once you've already signed in and you've left and you come back to get back into the course, all you need to do is click on civics course or take quiz. Either one will bring you right back to where you left off last time you were there, as long as you're signed in, of course. And if anybody has any problems with the civics course, just highlight civics course and click on help with quiz, and you'll get an email address for Kathleen, and you can send her, the problem, and make sure you include your phone number, and she will look into it and get back to you.
Okay. I was just noticing that if you go ahead and hit that civics course again, it doesn't look like you're supposed to. It, kind of...
I don't think you do.
Kind of the weave, and, but that's what opened it for me. Maybe it doesn't every time, but that's what opened it for me, clicking it twice.
Yeah, if you click on it, it'll take you right to the curriculum, and you'll get right into there.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Julia.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
I haven't forgotten you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Curtis, did you forget something? Curtis? I think it was an accident. Okay, phone up. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I have a bad phone here. I don't know how to use it. Anyway, what I was wanting to ask, we have a lot of people taking the test that have kind of stacked thought. One of the things I found that if some of these questions are a little tough for people to get correct, and once they can't get it because they go through the thing and they spend a lot of time, and it's one question every now and then. But I would like to suggest that we have the ability for them to contact somebody who's completed that test, such as myself or my wife, and we have the correct answers for most of them.
That's a great idea.
If they have a situation where they can't answer one question and they're just beating themselves to death and it's exhausting them, let them give us a call and ask us to, and we'll try to bring them through it, kind of walk them through it.
We're going to do that.
We need to do that because some of these questions are tough. All right, I'm done.
Thank you, Curtis. I accidentally skipped somebody that was in. If they want to go back into the queue right now, you'd be the first in line. But if not, I think we can say goodnight all and thank. Oh, here she is. All right, let's go ahead. All right, go ahead and a phone number ending in 3125. Hello? Area code 203.
She's still muted.
Oh.
She's muted.
I just unmuted her, I thought.
No.
Okay, try. Okay.
Still muted. 5? Yep.
Wait, somebody just muted her back.
Can't win.
Too many cooks out there.
Too many cooks.
You should be able to just hit next call.
I'm going
to
try that. Okay, hold on. Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Lost
that. That worked. No, that didn't work.
All right, Illinois John.
Eliminated it.
All right, Illinois John.
Yeah, good evening, folks. Captain John here from the great state of Illinois, where our governors make our license plates.
Good.
I held off on this kind of just a quick good news report update. A couple of weeks ago, Gary and I attended a regional gathering of the oath keepers here in Illinois. We were given a chance to speak. I spoke a wee bit. Gary spoke a little bit longer. We were warmly and enthusiastically received. And in fact, Gary tells me that about 6 oath keepers joined us within the following 24 hours. And I've noticed a spillover effect between the oath keepers and the Illinois State Militia since then. I've been giving them all of our updates, and especially the State Militia, they're beginning to post their stuff on their Facebook page as soon as I give it to them. So we're getting the word out, and our status has been elevated, and we're being more appreciated. And I'm very excited about all of that. So I just wanted to bring you guys up to speed on that. That's all I got.
Thank you, John. Thank you. All right. Our next caller, I think he's already been on before, John in, I think, Indiana.
This is Doreen from Pennsylvania calling.
Oh, try it out. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. The other day we were court watching, and we could not get in the courtroom. The sheriffs wouldn't let nobody in and closed the doors while the person we were court watching was inside there.
Wow. That's a big wow.
And we thought that's a big red flag.
Well, I think maybe we should set up some kind of procedure for when that happens. You need to get the name of the officers that have done that, the judge that is running that, and we need to go and get a letter out from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury in a mandamus form demanding to know why that they were carrying on a private in a private room, which could only be a kangaroo court if they're trying to keep the people out. But we'll figure out how to word that. But I think we need to set some things up for that, and we could probably pass this over to the Common Law Advisory Committee for the letter writing on this. And then we'll have a standard for when this kind of thing happens. They can't do that. That's
Thank
illegal.
You.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. And New Jersey, Charles?
Yes, this is Charlie from New Jersey. And I would like to know, are we expecting somebody to grant the Common Law Grand Jury access to the courthouse? And what are we to do if that doesn't happen?
Well, it will happen because they have no choice. Either that or we'll be at war. And, of course, we want to try to get in there before they really come shooting at us, because that's what their intent is to take us out. But we're doing the peaceful thing, the power of the pen. I think if we do it the way we're doing it, the right way, under principles and acknowledging God as the true writer of law and bringing his word back into the courtroom, I think he'll bless us and get in. Bear in mind, we got the pressure on these people. We're about ready to do some heavy, heavy, heavy indictments. We're going after 8 of the largest judges here in New York State. These are the guys that run the entire court system, and we're going after them for RICO. were going after the judges that tried to squash the the writ of habeas corpus that we did out there out west. Where was that? In Utah, with Stephen Dean. We've already indicted three of those judges and three of those lawyers. We just haven't filed it yet, which we should be doing this week. We're also going to get some recognition and acknowledgement of our authority by going after the governors to make sure that they're obeying the law and not permitting foreign troops on their soil, number one, and also that they have no military operations going on that soil, because that is a violation of a constitutional violation. All these actions and all these things, and we've already got two habeas corpuses through the system, and the people have been released, even though they try to play games with it, and, you know, they let them go anyway. We're going to fix that to make sure it sticks on the court and in the record, and we've got lots of habeas corpuses we're doing. We're doing the family court thing, so we're edging into the court, whether they like it or not. We started a court session 5-6 weeks ago, when we reinstated the the quo warranto, and then after that we did 6 mandamuses after that in a row, and by the time we got to the end of that, I know they didn't understand it, I don't think, what we were doing until we kind of got to the end, and I think they understand it now. We have opened a court case, court is in session, and they have been found guilty of fraud because they've remained silent when they had a duty to speak, and they also have made themselves enemy of the people because they have not fixed and repaired the problem, which is that we have the enemy is in the gate. We have subversion within our government. We've exposed it on paper in all 94 federal courts and the United States Supreme Court and every state court in America. So it's out there, and they're not doing anything yet, and I think they will be soon. And this is why what we're doing right now, we're at a position where we have enough people to really start to push real hard. We're starting to escalate in our growth. That should happen pretty quick once the landslide goes through, because at some point we're going to get into the media. And that's when we get into the courts. So it's very close. Nobody knows exactly when, but it's very close. The pressure is on. And it's in God's timing, not ours. It'll happen.
Because I was thinking, John, the sheriff also has unfettered access to the courts, right?
Exactly.
So if the sheriff calls for the grand jury, he opens it up to us, and we take our place, right?
The sheriff can call us for help to get him a grand jury. The sheriff can actually go into the phone book, call 25 people up, get them to come down to the court. He could do whatever he wants, and he can form his own grand jury, swear, have him sworn in, get a judge to swear him in, and then produce his case, whatever he wants. He doesn't have to go talk to the judge to do that. He doesn't have to go talk to a prosecutor. He doesn't even have to come talk to us either. Remember, he's got the total authority to do this. This is his job. Now, we're setting up administrations, and ultimately, so he can come to us, and we'll pull the pool together. We'll orientate the people and prepare them for him, make sure that they're not, contaminated. Okay, and whenever he needs them, and the purpose of the people being here at this point and doing what has to be done from the administrative process, we got this ultimately from the Magna Carta. It sets up the stage for this, and so we're just copying what the Magna Carta laid out, and we're applying it to every single court, and only the people can save America. Only people can maintain justice in the courts. As long as the people are busy watching, and the elected individuals and the court systems, and making sure justice is applying there, then we're going to have things are going to be in good shape. But once the people go to sleep again, then we're done. So that's why we're setting something up permanent, and we need to make sure that the people stay in the courts and do their job. It's up to us to maintain liberty in America. It's up to us to maintain the republic, ultimately.
Oh, so actually, we're not waiting for them to do anything.
Oh,
all she cares about is our relationship with the sheriff, because the sheriff is the one who's going to call us as needed, and he'll bring us into court, and we'll either indict or not indict based on the presentation.
Well, that's one of the ways we're going to get into the court is through the sheriff calling us. Another way to get into the courts is doing what we're doing with orders. That's what the mandamuses are all about. A mandamus is an order from the highest court in the land, and they cannot say no to it. They must obey it. Okay? So the court of that court of record has already been open, and it's maintained as open. It continues as we speak. And our presence in the court across the entire United States is happening through, you know, again, I mentioned this, we're doing habeas corpus, we're also doing the family courts. The family court's going to be the biggest blow-up. This is what really is going to get these people attention, I mean real hardcore, because we're going to end up closing them down very, very quickly because there is no other choice. It's such an out-of-control court that's so unjust and pathetic, and it's pathetic that we the people have allowed this to go on as long as we have. But in any event, all of this stuff is going on. Now remember, the prosecutor can call the grand jury. The sheriff can call the grand jury. The coroner can call the grand jury. And as a matter of fact, anybody who's got blood flowing through their veins can call a grand jury. All they have to do is, and that's why we're setting up the administrator, so everybody has access to the grand jury at any time. They want to come talk to the grand jury, you know, we'll see if we can't settle their problems first. And if we can't, then we'll schedule an appointment with the next grand jury that's coming up, and they can come over and talk to the grand jury. We'll give them access. Because that's the way it should be.
All right. Well, thank you,
even the defendant upon their arraignment has access to the grand jury, right?
The person who's being accused?
Yes.
Well, if he wants to talk to him, absolutely, he can go talk to him, yeah.
Because he could say, I see no grand jury and I see no indictment. I want a Commonwealth grand jury right now.
Well, they're not going to give it to him right now, but that's where we're getting to the point where he or she will always have that opportunity. We need to bring back the law of the land. That's the common law grand jury.
Absolutely right. I'm on this all the way, man. You got a lot of very passionate people here in New Jersey.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Thank you very much. All right. Eugene in Utah.
Howdy. I was state coordinator before Stephen Dean and I stepped down because of poverty. And I really want to help, but the thing is, I live 120 miles from the nearest town, and no running water, no electricity. But I go to a neighbor's house to get on the computer so I can do things like this meeting tonight on Skype. And I've been involved. I want to thank you first, too, also, because I've been involved in a court case in Utah federal court for the last year, and if it hadn't been for all the papers that you have posted, I'd have lost my tail, but I've been winning. I'm in currently now doing a writ of quo warranto because the judge finally overstepped her thing and did some bad behavior. And so after the quo warranto, I'm giving him 10 days and filing a writ of error. But so I'm willing to help someone write court cases. My first few were just abysmal, but because of what I've learned from that, I'm able to help someone and help them. I've tried to do the civics course, but the glitches when I'm there and my time's limited, I can't go and access. I'm going to be doing that in the future for help. But the thing is, I want to help, and I've signed up for the courtroom observers. We have a whole lot, but it's a 120-mile round trip for me to get to a courtroom. And with my Social Security, I mean, I go pay my bills the first of the month, and then I sit on my property and don't move for the rest of the month, except going to a neighbor's house like tonight. Coming 10 miles away so I can be on the computer for this. When I get...
Stick with us. You know,
I'm going to.
And you can't travel right now, but your situation may change. There could be something that we could do. Just stay with us.
Well, I'm planning on it. I've been from the beginning, practically, when you've had the first meeting, after you were the New York committeeman and that first call. I've been on and been with this, and I'm not giving up. The point being, though, I would like to help, but in this situation, I don't mind doing it through email, but someone might have to wait 2 or 3 days because sometimes you guys send me notices, but I get to my computer 2 or 3 days after it's time to do something. A call like tonight that I heard about on Monday, I've been on every Monday night call, and stuff like that, I can plan, and my neighbor, even when I don't have gas, will come pick me up because we believe in this that importantly.
Nice.
But the thing is, it's I want to help, but I don't know how in this
just
situation.
Stick with us, and we'll figure it out, okay?
Yeah. Well,
just
that's why.
Around.
That's why I want to get the court administrator job. I mean, I can use it to do a whole lot, and I'm motivated. And that's why I stepped down from being state coordinator, because Steve and Dean could do it where I couldn't. But I've been supporting, and we just need people to step up, and I'm willing to.
I hear you. All right. Well, thank you, Eugene. We'll be around here. Just, you know, stick with us, and we'll have it all ironed out and get you into the pipeline in the way that fits and suits your condition. And now we have phone number ending in 3125. I think this is your third attempt. And let's see if I can. I'm going to move my cursor away from anything so I don't accidentally lose you. Area code 203. Phone number ending in 3125. You're in. Can you hear me? Man, I hate to do this. All right. North Carolina, Susan, you're back in the queue?
Yeah, sorry. I need to ask really quick. How are you going to get past the court, the family courts that close to the public? You know, they have their private little thing going. But
well, that's being handled by the CPS people, and that's not my area. I'm sorry.
There should be no such thing as a family court. We have a court system set up. What should be done is really assistance for counseling and I will call it problem shooting situations with families by professional people in the field of counseling, in the field of psychology. This is what should be applied. You know, what should be available for the people. They shouldn't have to go into a court and have lawyers discuss what their life is going to be like because that's what they do. And it's all destructive, of course. It's all about making money and keeping the case going. It has nothing to do with solving the problem.
I understand that.
They create problems. So we're going to redo the court, that part of the court system. We're going to demand it to be done. First of all, we're going to shut them down every time they open up. We're going to take these people and put them in jail because they're breaking the law by violating the people's unalienable rights, Fifth Amendment, due process. They're taking children off the streets, away from their families, and just doing what they please with no due process. That's illegal. That's kidnapping, and those people are going to jail for it.
So you're not even going to worry about trying to observe those?
We're not worried what?
You're not going to be even involved in trying to observe those cases right now?
I'm not sure of the question.
She's talking about, are we going to try to observe CPS cases?
Right.
We're definitely going to get involved in this. Absolutely.
Well, I'm trying to say is some states allow them to, they allow it to be off the public. It's closed.
Oh, observe. No. Listen, this is not going to be held at a court. When there's a problem that a parent is being accused of abusing a child, maybe it's verbal abuse, maybe it's physical abuse, and maybe it's sexual abuse or psychological abuse or something of that. With the exception of sexual abuse, most of these abuses really can be handled through really taking these people through a process of counseling and also maybe some psychotherapy.
The state says they're supposed to be doing that, but that's not what they're doing.
No, it's not. That's what we're going to have done.
Without observing and proving that they're breaking the law, how are you going to get...
I'll tell you what. Why don't you bring this up? Matter of fact, we have 3 or 4 tapes over at the CPS page. Have you went to look at and listen to those tapes?
No, but when I called when I talked to someone last night, they said they were going to be observing...
What's happening. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a family court situation meeting here, but basically we have to evaluate everything that's going on. Because we're getting these people's children back, That doesn't mean we're just going to give them back to them and let them just go. Apparently, in some of these cases, they were real serious problems, maybe, and they have to be dealt with. And if the children have to be removed because you just can't get through to these thick-headed people that just won't change their ways, well, we don't want to violate the child. The child has every right to have access to their father and to their mother. But if they're not doing the right thing, we can go to the extended family. We can go to grandma and grandpa. We can go to sisters, brothers, cousins, whatever. You know, those are the people we need to be talking to keep these children in their family, to people that love them and know them, and that's where they belong. It has to be a very rare case.
What you're saying is the right solution. What I'm saying right now is, in other words, they need observers in these courtrooms more than anywhere.
First of all, those courtrooms are not going to continue. They're illegal. They're unconstitutional. They deny everything that is holy. I mean, they rip children away from their parents without due process.
I understand.
Children,
totally.
Listen to what I'm saying. No, listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. You're not going to get a courtroom observer into their courts. They're not going to allow that.
You're going to try to solve it a different way.
It's not appropriate to begin with, but then that leaves them to the kangaroo court session. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
hold on one, Gary. Just one second, Gary. Just want to end this part at this part. That's why we have to revamp the entire system. It doesn't belong in the courts. If you truly have a situation where it has to be in a court, it needs to go right through the court system. And the overseers of that whole process will always be the administrators within that county. That's who would be the overseers. And they would have access to walk into those meetings at any time, sit down and listen and observe.
All right. Okay, our next caller, the last caller, and then we're going to wrap it up. Trying again with the phone number 31 ending in 3125.
Gary, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, finally.
Who are you?
From? I'm doing well.
Well, no, who are you? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
This is Mabel from Connecticut.
Okay, you're not registered on this phone number as a member.
I am. Actually, maybe not this phone number.
Okay, that's all right. Keep going, Mabel.
Yes, okay. So I think it's my cell phone number that's listed on the website.
Well, go ahead.
Okay. All right, Gary, I used to actually communicate with Patricia Sachs. I'm not sure if she's still with us.
Ooh, yeah, I wonder myself. I have to check it out.
I haven't heard from Patricia in a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that she was very busy. I think we burned her out, but I think she's still on.
Well, she was so great. You know, I kind of went back at the time, as I said, with her, basically when we were trying to get the counties fully constituted.
I remember those were the good old days.
Right, the good old days. So at first when I signed up as a county organizer, and I know that, number one, we were trying to find jurors with the jurors, and then I actually got into the administrative part, not administrative, but I don't know what the difference is, and that's what I'm trying to determine now with actually signing up to be the administrator at this point. I sent my vow in, that was received, and basically, so I just wanted to kind of get a breakdown of where we are now, the county organizers versus the county administrators.
Well, I want you to know that what we've done, or should I say, when I say we, and sometimes even when I say I, there's three people in National. That's Robert Bristow, Jan Holland, and Gary Jolly, myself. And everything that we're doing, you know, is done in concert. What we are doing now, and I had it in one of my original emails going out to the courtroom observer candidates and grand jury administrator candidates, that we're going to be morphing even county organizers into this a leadership position with the courtroom observers to be able to have, I mean, you know, to get the shock troops to be able to hit the courthouses, it's going to take a tiered leadership structure. And so currently county organizers have kind of been kind of cooling their heels. Well, we're going to make up for lost time.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Mabel?
Yeah, it certainly does. So right now we're going to be, I guess, preparing to take the – well, I'm signed up for the civics course, obviously, and I know that I heard someone by the name of Curtis. I'm not sure what state it was, and I would really love to get in touch with Curtis because I know I started it and I was on maybe about the third module, and for some reason I'm stuck there and can't go on. So I don't know if I have to reach out to you to get his number.
Well,
I guess he said it was okay.
Call me tomorrow, 248-240-1201, and I will connect you with Curtis.
With Curtis. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I guess from there on I'll just hopefully everything will just take off and we get to our positions.
All right, that's great. I'm going to turn the Q&A. I'm going to turn Q&A off. And if there's anybody that's on the call, I think there was somebody, I forgot who it was, that wanted to have the last minute, can hit star 6 and talk to. But otherwise, everybody else can drop off. We're done for the night. And I will be back to you all with the information on next steps. But there was somebody, I forgot who it was.
This is Brad.
There it was. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, John, I talked to Gary and Jan and Gerard today, and they have asked me to help assemble an operations manual or something like that. And they said that you had a lot of stuff already put together, and rather
like
than...
Like policy, John. Policy for forum postings, membership conduct, codes of conduct.
Yeah, I'll see what I have in notes and different things that I've got, because I've been writing for many, many years, and so I might have some stuff pulled together. We do have to create some policies and procedures, and I think the best way to do that is for you to call a meeting for all of the, the directors and the different leaders of the national leadership, and myself and Gerard may be included also, and we should just run because, you know, collectively when we start thinking about it and brainstorming, we'll start thinking of all the problems, and all we need to do is just start listing the problems that we've experienced over the past couple of years. Oh, this happened, that happened, the other thing happened, and then once you have the problems, it's automatic. You can create the solution by creating some kind of a policy or a procedure, and that's maybe the best way to do it. Because I don't want to get it too broad and get it to a place where we don't really need it. And I think by just looking back into our history of problems, that in itself will, and that could be done through brainstorming, that in itself will solve exactly what our needs are. Yeah. So just call for the meeting, set a date, and let everybody know. Make sure it doesn't fall on a Monday or a Tuesday, or a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So you have Wednesday and Thursday is the good days to try to set that up. And it should be either, if it's going to be national, you're going to want to do it at 9 p.m. Eastern. If it's most of the people on the, I think we are, to get everybody together, it would have to be 9 p.m., right, Gary?
Yes.
Because we have people scattered everywhere. So
yes.
Yeah, 9 p.m. On a Wednesday or a Thursday. Just call Fort, set it up, and we'll do it.
Okay.
All right. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for tonight. I think this was a really excellent kickoff, and I look forward to hearing more. Take care, everybody.